I'd like to ask you to take your Bible and open to Luke chapter 6. Your Bibles ought to be beginning to flop open to that passage by now, maybe getting a little bit of work out week after week, turning to Luke chapter 6 as we go through Jesus' Sermon on the Plain. Luke chapter 6. This morning we are going to begin by reading verses 43 through 45. 43 through 45, Jesus' words as he preaches this Sermon on the Plain. Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 43. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Father in heaven, we thank you for the wonderful privilege that is ours to look at this passage. You are good and faithful to preserve it for us, these words of our Lord. Help us to learn, help us to grow. God, I pray that we would quickly receive the truth of your word, and I pray that it would be used to change us, to transform us into a greater likeness to our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we commit our time in the Word to you, asking you to bless our time. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus has been teaching on the importance of being self-critical and self-correcting. That's tough for us to hear. To be self-critical and self-correcting, everything within us rises up against that. Because, of course, we think we're right. We have a very high opinion of our own opinion, don't we? We love our opinions. But Jesus has been teaching on the importance of being self-critical and self-correcting. His sermon, which is addressed to kingdom citizens, they're active followers. So outside of the fact that there is an appeal for people to own their sin and believe by faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, Jesus in his message here is not specifically making a gospel appeal. He is preaching to those who have said, I believe. I'm coming with you. I'm following you. This is a message of identification. Jesus is saying, these are my followers, and this is how you will know them. And he would apply to, as he would apply to false prophets later, the truth overlaps to the disciples as well. You will know them by their fruit. So it's no surprise to us that Jesus is well aware of the two ways to live in this world. We can live his way or our way. There's no middle ground. And Jesus, as he approaches this message, doesn't present a middle ground. There are two ways to live. Our way boasts in self. Our way judges others. Our way condemns with an evil, dark intent that fits very, very nicely into the sinful world around us. God's way, on the other hand, the way epitomized by Jesus, is forgiving, and it's giving in an effort to love others as we ourselves have been loved. Two ways, two choices. And for those willing to hear his words, the decision has been made. Yes, they will struggle, and they will even sin, but they have been convicted to believe Jesus and are following him. So we come to our text this morning, verses 43 through 45. There are times in the scriptures when Jesus uses nature metaphorically. In John chapter 15, you're familiar with the passage where Jesus says, "I am the vine and you are the branches." Is Jesus a vine? No. Are we branches? No. It's a metaphor. It's a picture of something else. The idea that Jesus is teaching is be a lively vine, one who is an accurate, makes an accurate representation. Be a lively branch, an accurate representation of the vine that you are attached to. In other words, find your life in me, and you will bear much fruit. Well, in our text today, you may have noticed it, where Jesus uses a tree, a couple of different trees, some with bad fruit, some with good fruit. I do not believe that Jesus is using a metaphor here. There's no need to. You remember from last week, he has just used some parabolic language, a parable, the blind leading the blind. And those blind people represented different individuals or different groups of people. Jesus also told a story about a beam and a speck. Here, what Jesus does is he gives us a lesson in biology. The plain biological facts illustrate his point very, very well. Read them in a very clear way, a very straightforward way. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. True? True. For each tree is known by its fruit. Figs aren't gathered from thorn brushes, are they? Nor grapes picked from a bramble bush. Correct? Correct. So the biological fact of verses 43 and 44 is clear. Good trees produce good fruit. A healthy apple tree naturally produces apples because it is an apple tree and it can't produce anything else. This is just what it does. And the same is true of the fig tree or any other kind of plant. You wouldn't expect an unusual fruit. You would expect to get out of that tree what that tree is. Here's the point. Fruit reflects core of being. Fruit reflects core of being. That's biology. That's what it is. Fruit produced cannot be different from the character or the makeup of the tree itself. Good and bad fruit is rooted in the tree. So verse 45, Jesus shifts from his illustration. It's a connective illustration between what he has just taught and a point that he is making. And what he shows us is that the same facts carry over in regard to disciples. Those who are born again believers should produce good works because that is what they are. They are now, because of the work of Jesus, good. They are good. Similarly, one who has chosen to go his own way in life cannot produce good works because in rejecting Jesus and rejecting his way, they remain bad. So the biological reality of a tree and its fruit really strikes at the heart of the matter. A bad person cannot pretend to be good by producing good works any more than we could convince someone that a fig tree is an apple tree by tying apples onto its branches. You can change the outside of something, but it doesn't change the fact of what it truly is. The converted person is a new creation, a completely new person who is now going God's way, and his life is a testimony to that fact. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The language in that verse is clear. That life in Jesus changes things. He isn't here just to spruce us up. He comes to completely change us. And we will see he does so from the heart level. He works from the inside out. So those who say, look a certain way, dress a certain way, act a certain way, speak a certain way, and you will become Jesus-like, Christ-like, are wrong at the very core of their premise. How do we know that? Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Now what Paul is going to do is he's going to teach the same principle that Jesus is teaching. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not a result of works. In other words, not a result of your efforts to put on a good show. It's not a result of what you can do so that you can't boast. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is our way of life. This is what God has intended for His people. So note what Paul is saying here, a couple things. First of all, we cannot earn our salvation. It is a gift. So again, no matter how many nice clothes you put on, and no matter how you pretend to live your life to impress other people, salvation is not a matter of externals. Salvation is a matter of the heart. Salvation is something that is done to us. God saves us, according to Ephesians chapter 2. But what's interesting, and James will back this up, good works follow Christians. Good works follow Christians around because that is their way of life. That is who they are. It is what they do when recreated in Christ's image. They have been born again or born anew. So the actions of a disciple reveal the heart. The actions of a disciple reveal whether he or she is indeed a true disciple. So back to the apple and tree, or at least the tree and the fruit illustration, I'll use apples. An apple tree does not bear apples because it says to itself, if I don't produce apples, then I'm going to be judged harshly by God. An apple tree doesn't say that. An apple tree doesn't say, I need to produce apples to prove that I'm an apple tree. Listen, I got apple trees in my backyard. There are years they don't produce apples. But I don't say, you're not an apple tree. Come on. I know what you are. You're a fig tree, aren't you? I don't have those conversations. You're thankful for that. An apple tree does not bear apples because it says to itself, well, I need to try really hard to produce apples so God will accept me for what I am. An apple tree produces apples because, get this, because it is appleness. That's what it is. And it overflows with apples. It was created to produce, and it was created to produce apples. You say, yeah, that's simple. Exactly. That's the point Jesus is making. The life of following Christ is to act in accordance with your new nature. You are recreated. You are made new. So the follower of Jesus is good not because they want to be judged by God to be a good person. The follower of Jesus is good not in an attempt to earn God's favor and earn God's love. They've already been shown that. Rather, he or she has been born again. And out of the good treasure of their new heart, what do they produce? Good. You see it written here in verse 45. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The heart is a person's core of being. Remember we said that fruit reflects core of being? The heart and what comes out of the heart reflects core of being. The heart is the treasury. The heart is the storehouse of deepest desire. More on that coming up here in March in the evenings. During our adult education time, we're going to be studying about a biblical understanding of the heart from the book of James. We're going to be looking at this treasury of deepest desire. Know this, that what we say and how we live is an outgrowth, is an overflow of who we are. Overflowing abundance at the heart level. Jesus addressed this in Matthew chapter 12. Now, aren't you thankful this is not directed at you? You brood of vipers, what an introduction. Jesus is having a rather lengthy dialogue with a group of religious teachers. And these religious teachers are saying one thing but doing something else. And they are refusing to believe the truth. As a result of that, they are harming other people and they are preventing other people from hearing the truth. And Jesus says to them, you brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? That's a good question. How can you speak good when you are evil? Have you ever known someone to speak something that sounded really, really good only to find out that they were a deceiver? I think we would all say, yes. I've had an experience like that. How can you speak good when you are evil? What Jesus says is, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, their good, what was perceived as good for the people, was really evil because evil is what they were. They refused the truth. Remember, there's only two ways, man's way, God's way. So even when it is religious activity, it can still be man's way. And Jesus says here, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You look like you're speaking good, but But how can you speak good when your heart is evil? Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Listen to John chapter 8, verse 44. John chapter 8, verse 44. Jesus says to the same kind of people, these same religious leaders, Pharisees, leading people astray, he says this to them, "You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires." Desire is rooted in the heart. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, his own heart. For he is a liar and the father of lies. In that description of the wicked one, how convicting, how cutting it should have been for the Son of God to be saying to these people, "You are of your father, the devil. You are just like him. You have his heart." And so bad tries to do good and is found out to be a liar and a deceiver like the wicked one. Good does bad and is found to be a hypocrite and has ruined potentially their testimony for the Lord. Jesus warns us and says, out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So, what is it that flows out of the mouth? What is it that flows out of the life of a believer? What is it that people hear? And what is it that people see flowing out of the abundance of your heart? What is it that shows one to be a follower of Christ? Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit. We're talking about fruit here in this passage, Jesus is. So doesn't it only make sense that he would answer the question that we all have? Okay, well, how do I produce good fruit? Good fruit is produced because of what you are. What are you? Well, if you are a follower of Christ, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, which is a gift to you from God at the moment of salvation, there is something that the Spirit wants to do in you. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. This is what God has for you, believer, follower of Jesus, disciple of Jesus. It parallels so well with the Sermon on the Plain here. The fruit of the Spirit is the life that will be lived for Jesus. The fruit of the Spirit is the life that will be lived through the power of Jesus. The fruit of the Spirit is the life that will be consistent with the message of Jesus. Why? Because it is who I am because of him. What Jesus is getting at in Luke chapter 6 is my disciples are genuinely changed from the inside out so that their new heart begins to more and more accurately represent me, the one who is the changer of hearts. Ladies, you are learning on Thursdays about fear and anxiety. I'm sure you have come to grips with the fact that you will be faced with the temptation. You will be faced regularly with the temptation to react to life by worrying about that which you can't control. You will be tempted to hold on to that burden, and that's what anxiety is. It is a burden. You will be tempted to hold on to it in an attempt to be your own savior, in an attempt to figure out how you can fix the situation. Two ways to live, though. The peace of God, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. The peace of God, the Spirit, comes to the disciple who learns to cast her anxiety on Jesus, the true Savior, knowing that He cares for her. 1 Peter chapter 5. Men, we're learning about anger. And here's what we already knew, but has been pressed upon us again, that we will be faced with the temptation to react to life by getting steaming mad, by mumbling under our breath that life would be so much better if you weren't surrounded by idiots. Strong language, but that's what we think. You will be tempted, men. You will be tempted to judge. But that outburst of anger can be defeated and replaced with, do you see it here, the gentleness and the self-control of the Spirit. As we remember that God is the perfect judge, and as we submit ourselves to His authority. Ladies and men, what fills our hearts spills over into our lives. It is why on Wednesday nights and Thursdays during those Bible studies, we have memory verses. The first reaction is, oh, I'm no good at memory. Oh, I hate Bible memory. Ladies and gentlemen, what fills our hearts spills out into our lives. The reason we are putting truth in is so that it is truth which spills out. The reason we are putting God's direction in is so that when I am tempted, and I will be, when I am tempted, I have God's direction to lean on. And it is what comes out of my mouth and out of my life. And guess what? Even when it doesn't, God has made a plan for that too. And you'll only know that as you get to know Him. Kurt read that passage from the Old Testament. How important to know God. And He wants us to. He wants us to know Him. So Jesus is not beating us with a big stick here in Luke chapter 6. What He is doing is teaching us a principle that a healthy apple tree brings forth apples out of the abundance of appleness. And there's no mistaking, that is an apple tree. The follower of Christ brings forth Christ-likeness out of the abundance of the new life in Christ. And what is given in new life? What is given is an understanding of the Word through the indwelling Spirit. An ability to stand on the assurance that my God is working in me, and my God has a purpose, and my God has a plan, and my God knows me. And my God does care. So how important is it for me then to be filled with that truth that's revealed by the Spirit in His Word and let that come out in my response to the temptations that I will inevitably face in life? Jesus' point is that we should be easily identifiable as Christ followers, not because we're sinless, but because we are forgiven and because we are growing in the new way that has been provided for us in Christ. And it shows because that is what we are. We are His. He wants his followers to know they are his. Out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Yes, let me change your heart. And it will be a continual process through your entire life. You will be changed and you will be growing as you learn more and more about me. Because the way of Jesus changes us. What we are on the inside is to match what we project on the outside. And one of the ways that God wants us to change and grow, we've seen it again and again and again, is that we need to be quicker to admit our own struggles than to point out the struggles of another. That goes back to last week. But that's what Jesus is driving home in this passage this week. Following Jesus means that you are identifiable now as one who is like Christ. There is great joy and there is great blessing to be found. Not in trying to project an image of, hey, I've got this all together. Or, hey, I've got all the answers. No. The blessing doesn't come that way. In fact, Jesus began his message on the plain that way. Blessing looks very, very different than how we would have painted the picture. Blessing comes when we own our sin. Blessing comes when we know we are forgiven. Blessing comes when we ask the Spirit to be at work in our hearts so that the inside and then the outside are changed more and more into the likeness of our Savior King. And we thank the Lord, the Savior, who made that all possible. Blessed are those who have believed. Why? Because they know Jesus. And a little Jesus is who they are. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, I thank you again. And we give our thanks for a simple message. Jesus makes it so clear. He gives it to those followers back then. And boy, how we need to hear it now. The message of Jesus, the gift of Jesus, the hope of Jesus, all wrapped up right here. We can look like the world, or we can look like you. What we are, though, will show. So there is a call here to bear fruit. There is a call to live consistently with who we are now in Christ. How foolish for a thorn bush to produce figs. It's possible. How ridiculous for a bramble bush to produce grapes. How ridiculous for one who has not given their heart to Christ to try to live like him. And how ridiculous for the one who has said he gave his heart to Christ to not live like him. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Believers, we have before us a message of submission. It is a message of walking with Christ and letting his word challenge and change you by the power of the Spirit at the heart level. Not a little bit of outward reform, a major heart surgery. How goes your life of surrender to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Jesus is speaking there. Believers, the message is for you. But if you are here and have never repented of your sin, you've never believed that Jesus is the Savior you need, with a loving heart, we invite you to do so today. Call upon Him, admit your guilt, and turn to Jesus as your Savior from it. The way of Jesus changes you, and it begins with faith. Trusting Jesus Christ to do what He has come to do, and that is save you and make you a new creation. Friend, would you call upon Him today? Lord Jesus, we thank You for revealing to us that You are the way, the truth, and the life. You are the way of salvation. You are the truth to live by. And You are the life we need. So I pray that You would grow Your followers, that You would save sinners, and You would use us for Your purposes as messengers of Your way. Use this text to do the work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.